Okay. So yeah, there's a real challenge then for those Malaysian students, or anyone really, Indonesian students or Chinese students, to consider how they can best serve the gospel, which may well be back in their home country. This is something that is not just theory for you, right? You were in Sydney for how long?
Around about half,
nearly half my life.
Right, a long time. So I imagine, you're a human being, I imagine there was a temptation to stay and do ministry in Sydney?
Yeah, it wasn't just a temptation, it was a practical offer. I mean, I was asked to do ministry in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the whole question of, I guess, wisdom and decision making.
Mm.
But I think in the short time we have, the larger issue is really, if you can get right down to it, the larger issue is really, why don't we want to come back to Malaysia? And mm-hmm. I think the real reasons are not because we've either got rational reasons for or against.
Mm.
I think the real reason is that we don't want to grow up and trust what the gospel teaches us about the Christian way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger of that, on the flip side, is also that we have a false belief that God protects His people by keeping them out of harm's way.
Mm.
And that the Christian can have the good life materially as well as have orthodoxy at the same time for any price.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to say at some point, what are you willing to do in order to live out the fact that as a Malaysian, for instance, you have a great opportunity of being a Christian witness, as well as taking what you have in the gospel and benefiting both yourself and society and your church by living it up with other fellow nations who are struggling. And I think when you do that, you will find that actually, you can ask a couple of the Malaysians who were torn both ways and then just bit the bullet and came back and maybe didn't even necessarily work it out as much as I had to intellectually, but when they came back, they found they grew up.
Okay.
And they enjoyed Christianity a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And despite all the things people tell you, the reality is serving Jesus here in Malaysia is a great privilege.
Mm.
Our church, for instance, once we started it, at the early stages, of course, we were preaching through every week to about maybe 6 or 7 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about maybe 60 people tonight.
Okay.
But the numbers are not the most impressive thing we've seen from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The most impressive thing we have seen is how God saves people.
Mm.
And God actually speaks to people from the scriptures, from the text, when we preach faithfully from it, in such a way that people actually begin to take seriously what Jesus has done for them, and then actually put aside the old self and start actually living out the gospel in a way which for years, as a result of, you know, poor teaching or not understanding the gospel properly for themselves, for years they've just been struggling with. Now, these people I'm thinking of, they're still working hard at it, and it's not easy, and they still struggle with materialism or wanting to get out of this country and all that. But when we are here, and if you have matured in Melbourne to a point where you understand how important the gospel is such that you can come back, you are a great encouragement to the people here. And you will find that you yourself are humbled by how much the other people here, local Christians, are growing, and you will find that you yourself will have to be honest about the ways in which you have to grow up as a Christian. So the benefits of being a Malaysian Christian in Malaysia are enormous.
Yeah.
And I don't think I don't think if I was in Australia, I'd have grown the same way I grew a lot in Australia,
mm.
but there's the slight dimension of being a migrant as well. You kind of don't have to worry about that here.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up here.
Mm.
So, I think if you're a Malaysian, stronger Christianity is going to be the end point
mm.
for you if you come back.
Yeah.
So the greatest beneficiary is yourself.
Yeah. So there is benefits for yourself, but as well as benefits for Malaysian churches, as well as benefit for the Malaysian society as a whole.
Yeah, actually, that's what we've both been teaching in membership, and that's what we've also been seeing.
Mm.
Also, on the point of society, when Christians migrate out of the country,
mm.
they're really saying in loud, clear terms that for them, although Jesus be Lord,
mm.
they determine their own destiny,
mm.
that they are afraid of everything else that pagans run after.
Mm.
They do seek not necessarily his kingdom,
mm-hmm.
but they do seek what to wear, what to eat first.
Yep.
And for them, career is the main determiner
mm.
in what they do for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Christians don't have a platform from which to speak clearly about the benefits of the gospel or the confidence the gospel gives in life
mm.
when they keep getting out after they've just said, do you believe in Jesus? Believe in Jesus, Lord. Bye, I'm going to New York now.
Okay.
I hope you'll be okay in the next 20 years.
Mm.
I think New York is better for me or something like
that. Right, yeah. It's probably a lot in reverse. It's a lot of the similar things that Australian Christians struggle with when faced with perhaps serving the Lord Jesus overseas. We say there's so much to do in Melbourne. Like, we can make it sound Christian by saying, oh, but there's just so much ministry here. But the fear and the danger is that we're really, that's the excuse, and we're really staying for, like you say,
yeah,
the coffees and the...
That's exactly yeah. right. So if you're speaking to Australians and you're speaking to Malaysians, kind of like the end point of what you're saying, the form of what you're saying might sound slightly different,
mm.
but the heart of it is really, do you really understand what the gospel has done for you?
Mm.
Why are you so afraid?
Mm.
Can you not see that this is actually good for you?
Mm.
And I think therefore we can't get into silly discussions of, well, why do this is what happens sometimes when staff workers say to people, go home.
Mm.
We can't get into silly discussions which are given in answer to that question, to that exhortation. We can't get into silly discussions of, well, why should I have to go back to Indonesia when he only has to go back to Malaysia? Have you seen what Jakarta is like?
Mm-hmm.
Jakarta is much worse than KL.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I'm going to have a pain quotient of this amount,
mm-hmm.
I think he should take it too. It's not about who gets more pain or who gets more comfort.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think pastors like ourselves are more concerned about is whether or not we've actually been gripped by what Jesus has done mm. for us.
Yeah.
How can we possibly speak to people confidently about what Jesus has done, securing our release from hell, our place in heaven,
mm.
if we think that something as something like KL traffic jams is worse than hell?
Yes, that's
I
right.
I think that's just the ultimate inconsistency.
Mm.
And nobody in their right mind will want to become a Christian
mm.
when every year Christians migrate in the hundreds of thousands.
Mm.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Two last ones. Maybe quicker questions. I don't know. How would you encourage supporters of AFES to pray for Malaysian students here in Melbourne? And the other question will be, if there are Malaysian students who end up watching this video who are in Melbourne right now and studying away, any last words you'd like to leave them with? But let's do the first one first. If I'm a supporter of AFES, I'm living in Melbourne, I've never been to Malaysia, but I'm passionate about reaching international students with the gospel, how should I be praying? Perhaps for those Christian students who are sitting in a focus group for 2 or 3 years, what would be good prayers?
Well, we can pray that these students get the best Bible teaching, the best sound theology that AFES can afford to give them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you're going to pray about that makes you financially support areas so that they can afford good guys on the ground, women on the ground, who are not only going to take interest in the students' lives, but in their in the students' thinking about God and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If the students don't have good doctrine and a good understanding of God, they're not going to be able to serve the church here in Malaysia at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be forever wrapped up in the problems of every phase of life. Family, housing, financing, retirement, the whole thing.
Mm.
The only way we're going to be able to serve Jesus well is if we know Him and His apostles' teaching. So let's pray together that all the staff workers of AFES are clear and helpful. Let's pray also that students are mature and independent to some extent. It takes a great deal of maturity to cope with being in a foreign country and to be an independent student. Asian countries don't train independence very well, so when they go overseas, it's a big shock to them, the whole education system. And coping with that, as well as learning new things in the Bible, is a double onslaught. So rather than perhaps pray for the AFS workers to be able to perfectly minister to every subtle nuance of every nation and every student that comes, let's pray for the students themselves to be able to take what comes their way and to be independent learners, both in their studies as well as their scriptures, to be hassling their staff workers and say, what does the Bible say about Trinity? What does this mean about what I learned in my church back home? And how come you say this? And all that kind of stuff. And then to take, as I've said in a previous clip, to take all of that and to make sure that they start thinking about contextualizing that message with the same faithfulness of the gospel for back home. I think the hardest thing for a AFES worker and hardest thing for a student of a focus work is to remember that what they're really trying to do is to, in the case of a Malaysian, learn how to be Malaysian church builders whilst in Melbourne. Because they're not in Malaysia.
Yes.
But the moment they are trained to adapt, survive in Monash and Melbourne, they'll be only good for that in one sense. So kind of keeping the whole, keeping grounded in the fact that God's given them the gift of being able to be Indonesian missionaries or Malaysian missionaries or whatever, is probably one of the hardest things. It's easy to fall in love with Melbourne, isn't it? So pray for them that they'll understand this and come back.
Okay. Which leads nicely to, if you had a few words to say to, you know, the Malaysian med student or Malaysian engineering student who's in Monash in Melbourne now, they're in their second year, they've been coming to Focus for a while, and I'm sure there's something that drives them crazy about Melbourne. You know, the shops close at 5 and there's nothing happens after dark and the city's empty or whatever. But there probably are other parts of Melbourne which look pretty attractive. What would you want to say to those students?
I don't even know whether this is necessarily true anymore, but they say when you're a student, you have more time than you'll ever have in your life. I know it's true when you have start-ending kids. So I would say study hard, make sure you continue to honor those who have given you scholarship money, whatever it is. But most importantly, make sure that while you're there and you're in a good church where you have access to a pastor who can teach the scriptures, that you work very hard at trying to understand the Bible for yourself. You probably can't finish everything. You can't learn everything. But now's the time to read a couple of good books on doctrine, a couple of good books on biblical theology, a couple of good books on maybe even ethics, and on maybe books, a couple of commentaries on the Bible. Start getting basic skills which will make you more than useful when you come back to churches like the one I run here. Start thinking about how you can best serve them. Maybe if your gift is Bible study leading, or you think you're someone who can actually explain things well, maybe you should start doing a couple of courses on actually getting skilled in that area. But the other really tough thing that will see you in good stead for when you come back is to resist the multiple temptations in Melbourne, including porn and other forms of licentiousness. You've probably seen more of that than you ever did when you were a student here in Malaysia or Singapore or whatever, because it's everywhere, isn't it, in a very overt way. So I would say keep maturing in Christ and keep making sure you understand how the gospel should lead you to live in life. So grow up in the gospel and come back and be prepared to serve. Don't start building bad habits of thinking that life should be the way that you're experiencing it necessarily in Melbourne, where it's small and intimate, conversations are all wonderful, and life is generally blissful, even though your PhD or whatever may be very tough. Start thinking about how best you can serve Malaysia while you're there.
Great. Thanks, Robin. You are a very busy man. Helen, I've been staying with you on and off the past week, and yeah, you enjoy a busy and working hard, and that's a wonderful thing. So even just this 20 or 25 minutes is precious time, so thank you very much.